Hello, and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, censored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. The slogan Jin Jiyan Azadi is again being heard around the world as the women of Iran take to the streets in protest against the killing of 22-year-old Kurdish woman Jina Mahsa Amini in Tehran on the 16th of September by Iran's notorious morality police. The US State Department even on Friday tweeted showing support for the women in Iran with the words, "Women, life, freedom." But it was, of course, the Kurdish women's movement and the Kurdish women of North and East Syria who, with the YPJ, the all-women defense units who first developed the women's liberationist philosophy, that gave voice to the slogan Jin Jiyan Azadi, using it as their battle cry against and in the eventual defeat of ISIS. After the defeat of ISIS, the Kurds, Arabs, Christians, and others in the region we fondly know of as Rojava, now organized as the Autonomous Administration of North and East Syria, have set about strengthening their newly found freedoms in a society shaped by the ideas and philosophy of the imprisoned Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan. These ideas, of course, are based upon the notion of democratic autonomy and involves and includes a radical grassroots communal democracy, social ecology, and central ideas of women's liberation and freedom. Hence, it is often referred to as the women's revolution. Some aspects of the ideology behind these policies have been influenced by the American anarchist thinker and writer Murray Bookchin, who sadly died in 2006 before being able to see how his ideas had influenced the Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan's theories of democratic nation. But, as we will hear from our two guests today, Bookchin's former partner of 19 years, Janet Beale, was able to travel to Rojava to witness for herself how her former partner, Murray Bookchin's ideas were being played out and received by the people in northeast Syria, the result being the documentary film we are just about to hear about. So, for all of the reasons above, and with Turkey's ever-present and constant attacks continuing to threaten this revolutionary project in northeast Syria, the film documentary couldn't be more timely. And so we are delighted and honored to be joined today by both co-directors of the film, Danny Mitchell and Ross Damoni, to tell us about their new documentary film entitled The Road to Rojava, that follows Janet Beale in Rojava, northeast Syria, which they have now completed and will be coming out very soon. Danny Mitchell, co-director and producer, is an independent documentary filmmaker based in London. He makes character-driven films involving social and political issues. These themes range from the economic crisis in Iceland to following guerrilla soldiers through the peace process in Colombia. His films have been shown at film festivals all around the world. Ross Damoni, co-director, is a multi-award-winning freelance filmmaker from the UK. His documentary work focuses on human rights issues, countries in conflict, and the effect of political protest on cities, authorities, and underground movements. His work has been published widely by The Guardian, ITV, Al Jazeera, Field of Vision, The Wall Street Journal, Evening Standard, The Daily Mirror, Time Out, The Discovery Channel, just to name but a few. Also, but sadly not able to join us today, Kim Long Otto, also executive producer, who's not able to be with us today, but has also been involved with the film, is a BAFTA Sundance Award-winning British documentary filmmaker, well known for making films that highlight the plight of female victims of oppression and discrimination. So it is with great excitement and a very warm Media News welcome that we're able to say and welcome Ross and Danny to Media News today. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you, Mark. It's very good to be here. Thanks for having us on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having us. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much. Perhaps, Danny and Ross, we could firstly just briefly begin by you explaining to our listeners how you first came up, how you first came to take an interest in the revolution in northern East Syria, Rojava, and how just briefly you came up with the idea of the film The Road to Rojava in the first place.
Sure, yeah. So I've been very interested in the movement in Rojava since first hearing about it, which is probably around 2015, 2016. And as a filmmaker, I knew it was something that I'd like to explore further. And at the time, the mainstream news was very much focused on the YPJ, on the female defense fighters, and covering the war on ISIS. But it wasn't really going much into the ideology behind the movement. And it was just largely focused on the war. And there wasn't much kind of like depth going on, really, I felt. And I thought a documentary film would be a great way of exploring more about the kind of political project as a whole in terms of what was happening there. So at the time, there was lots of conferences and talks going on in and around London. And so I started attending these events and came across Janet. I saw her speak a number of times and found her to be very eloquent and very knowledgeable about the Kurdish freedom movement. And also I knew she'd been to Rojava a number of times. And also the story of Öcalan and Bukchin also fascinated me. I mean, that connection and how Öcalan, after being arrested and put in solitary confinement and from his prison cell, came up with this new ideology, which was then put in place and helped shape society. I mean, that kind of idea really amazed me. And I thought that these elements wouldn't be easily covered in a film, but felt committed to telling the story in some kind of a way. And I happened to meet Ross randomly at a screening of the documentary The Accidental Anarchist, which was about the British diplomat Carn Ross, Film Festival. And we spoke about it, just about the film, directly after the screening. And then we both learned from one another that we both had this interest in Rojava, and we both were trying different ideas. And Ross had also had a number of projects that he'd been working on, but had fallen through at the last minute and been able to get out there and actually make a film. So we decided to join forces. And at that point, Turkey had just invaded Afrin in March 2018. And so we were aware about Turkey posing a real threat to the future of the revolution in Rojava. And we felt that if we were going to do a project, we kind of had to really get on and do it. And we both had some kind of time within our schedules to focus on this. So we collectively decided to contact Janet and run it by her as an idea to go out there and do this film and kind of use her story with Bukchin as a way of understanding and exploring the revolution further. And we were very pleased that she got back to us incredibly quickly, saying that she was incredibly keen on doing the project. And so I think about 4 or 5 months after that initial email exchange, we met Janet in Erbil in Iraq and traveled to the border and crossed into Rojava.
Wow. Yes. Anything you want to add there, Ross?
Just much on from what Danny said, that we shared this collective interest into what was happening in Rojava. And for me personally at that time, it was also, I wanted to discover and make a film about politics of hope that was going on at that time. And it's specifically in that region and also within our own politics that happens within the Western world, because we wanted to explore something that went further. And, you know, the Rojava revolution was something that a lot of people were talking about. And we wanted to use the filmmaking process to kind of explore what was happening in the revolution and go into more detail and more depth as to what the headlines were saying. So it was a great kind of combination of forces that me and Danny were able to come together and plan all of this trip. And here we are still, you know, kind of like 3 years after the actual filming of the project. And it's been like a nonstop kind of process of analyzing the footage and having back and forward sessions with our executive producers. And we are finally so happy to say that the film is in its near best possible form, and we can't wait to share it with the wider world as well.
Wow, incredible. And it is, of course, I mean, just by chance, it is, of course, incredibly timely. I mean, I know that you were worried about the threat of Turkey and you wanted to finish it quickly. But indeed, I mean, the Rojava still stands, although there are still those imminent threats from Turkey. And it is, of course, incredibly timely with the protests in Iran following the of the Kurdish woman Jina Amini igniting these street protests all over Iran, and especially in the Kurdish region of Iran, and being led with this slogan of Jin Jiyan Azadi, women, life, freedom. But you have actually been to the source of that slogan, where it's obviously more than just a slogan, but rather a philosophy of women's liberation and freedom. Could you tell us, let's get into the film a little bit, I guess, and could you tell us a little bit more that how you cover that aspect of women's liberation in the documentary?
Sure. Yeah, so we went out there originally with the idea that we would cover all aspects of the revolution equally, if you like. So we thought about the main pillars of it, so the democratic and autonomous society, gender equality in the women's movement, and then also the ecological sustainability and social ecology. And we were planning on kind of covering all these aspects equally, and also, as well as that, the defense aspect and the war on ISIS. But we soon realized that this was very ambitious. And with the time that we had there, we were only there for a month. And also, all of these aspects, I guess, would probably be more easily covered in a kind of book or essay. As a film, you have to be quite focused on particular themes and narratives that have to, you know, have continuity right the way through. And we felt that the women's aspect would soon become the kind of main focus of the film, actually. And another reason for that as well is we, being out there, we realized that it was also the kind, it was also in a very advanced stage, it felt like, the women's revolution there. And so it was kind of easier to focus on as well. And having Janet as our protagonist as well made sense, as she's obviously a woman. And so we felt that would become the main focus. And so whilst we were there, we visited various women's academies where gender equality and women's philosophy was being taught, as was the history of various women's struggles from around the world. We met with various women in different positions within the self-administration, and we did Vox Pox on the street, where we would just go up to random people and ask them about what they thought of the revolution and what they thought about the women's movement, and the response we had was really interesting. And we had a lot of people say, especially men actually, that they were really pleased about women's rights were being addressed, and that they felt a real sense of satisfaction that women were helping in the running of society, which was something that wasn't able to happen before. And there was obviously a deep respect as well by people there for the YPJ and the Women's Defence Forces and the role they had played in defeating ISIS. So due to all of these things, as I say, the women's kind of aspect of society there became the main focus. And so, yeah, so that's kind of where we ended up, really. And in terms of the slogan, there was various times actually in the women's academies at the end of the class, so there would be a woman teaching philosophy, and at the end of the class they would chant Jinjan Azadi. And at the YPJ there was a very emotional moment as well, which appears in the film. It was our last visit, and we went to a YPJ barracks, and as Janet was saying goodbye to everyone, she became very emotional, and then they all started chanting together Jinjan Azadi. And yeah, it feels like it's a slogan which is very much alive in Kurdish society in Rojava, and is used on a regular basis.
Yeah. Do you want to add anything to that, Ross?
It just, that slogan, it came up in quite a lot of the scenes that we were filming. We'd hear it on the radio sometimes, and there was this kind of deep respect everywhere. In Rojava that we visited for women and what women were doing in society and how they were forming They were a massive part of this new radical democratic experiment that was taking place in the north and east of Syria. And it was quite mad that we got all of this footage within, you know, we were there for just a month and we kind of filmed as much as we could of everything because we realized that our time was quite constrained. And we both did realize that the footage was kind of, we were directing the footage towards, you know, what was happening with the women's struggle there. But it's now that we've been back in the UK and we've gone through this whole process of editing that we're really trying to drive every scene towards what's happening with the liberation of women in the north and east of Syria. And that's what makes our film its strongest, we think. And that's where we are now.
Wow, amazing. So Janet Beale travels to Syria with you guys filming her to explore the legacy of her late partner, Murray Bookchin, whose philosophical ideas helped to inspire the women's revolution in northeast Syria. This is a journey into a region coming to terms with life after ISIS. I mean, it surely must have been at times an emotionally charged experience, both for Janet and indeed for yourselves witnessing it. How did you cope with that aspect of the project?
It was a very moving experience the whole time that we were there. And what we came to realize is that kind of everything that we experienced and filmed had this bittersweet tint to it because there was this kind of positive revolutionary atmosphere across the whole of North and East Syria while we were there because we'd arrived just after the last battles with ISIS had finished. Mm. But everything was also tainted with a feeling of loss. And there was kind of like a continuous stream of funerals happening from people that had been martyred in the battles against ISIS. There were still people that were treading on mines because there were a lot of explosives still laid around the liberated territories. So whereas the people in Rojava were very proud of all that they'd had achieved, there was also kind of a sense of mourning going on, you know, behind the positivity of each story. So it was quite a contrast of feelings. And I think both myself and Danny, we still experience a lot of these feelings now, even 3 years after we were on that trip, because we're kind of doing these editing sessions. We look at the footage in new ways and we see how, you know, we get new parts of the footage translated still sometimes. And it's even just like getting the feeling of what it was like when we were in the car and we were driving past all these pictures of martyrs and then getting the song, the revolutionary song that we heard on the radio. And then we hear it translated and it kind of gives you like a whole new feeling, like a whole new texture of feelings as to what we felt when we were originally there 3 years ago. So I felt that we were both, well, both myself, Danny and Janet, we were incredibly welcomed by everyone. We had such amazing hospitality. People were very open to sharing their stories. There was a lot of intimacy and the politics were just very moving. And I personally also realized that, you know, we didn't kind of know anything and that there's so many depths and layers to society. And also what was happening across the whole of Syria, because we're aware that the Rojava revolution is kind of one revolution amongst many revolutions that happened throughout the Syrian civil war. And whereas there is the question, there is the proud moments of all of the things that women have done in the north and east of Syria, there have also been amazing moments of bravery with women throughout the whole of Syria and all the other regions that have suffered immense trauma and loss throughout the civil war.
Hmm. Danny?
Yeah, I'll just say, I think being with Janet really helped in terms of opening up lots of doors for us. And as Ross said, we were incredibly well looked after. From kind of really everyone we met, everywhere we went, we had, you know, people to stay with who would like personally show us around and connect us with people. And so we really did feel very kind of privileged to be able to kind of explore things in the way in which we did. It was, you know, it was also, it was an amazing experience. It was also quite hard work being there for a month. I think we filmed, there was only one day in the month that we didn't film. and that was because something got cancelled. So it was literally all day, every day for a month, going to various different meetings, filming people, cross, you know, moving around different areas of the country, or of the region, sorry. But yeah, it was an incredible experience, and we're pleased with the footage that we've got, and it's great to finally be coming, you know, to the end. Although we're not quite there, it does feel like we're in the final stages now, which is great.
Okay, so we've got 10 minutes to go. Could I then just invite you both to perhaps summarize in your own words your own feelings and thoughts now that you have, now that you are reaching the end of the project, and tell us, what are your hopes for the film? I mean, what do you think the film will achieve?
I can't wait to get the film out to the wider world. In some ways, it's, you know, the whole documentary process, especially when you do it independently, it can be quite a lonely process because you're doing it with a very small team of people. The film kind of stays between your small team of people. And it would just be so nice after these years of cutting and analyzing the footage and putting it into its best possible form within the edit. It would be amazing to show it to crowds of people, to have debates, to get expert panels. Of course, I think myself and Danny would both love, you know, to go back to Rojava and show the film to the people that kindly shared their lives with us while they were there. We're aware that, you know, this is not always so easy and possible to do at the moment because of finances. But yeah, we would really just love to bring the revolution in Rojava, you know, to the cinema and to people across the world. And I also hope that this can be a story that's accessible to people, you know, kind of outside of the Rojava circuit, you know, people that are already interested in the region, but also for there to be a way that this film can open up and show what life is like there to people who might not be so familiar with what's happening in North and East Syria.
Amazing. And Danny, if you could just add, just give us a little bit of a, just like give us a little bit of a flavor of the film in your summing up.
Okay. So firstly, in terms of what we'd like to, where the film we'd like it to go, as Ross said, I mean, community screenings. We're also planning on doing a festival run next year. And throughout this process, we have tried to engage different production companies and get broadcast deals, and we haven't been successful yet on that front, but we still hope to get a broadcast deal once the film is finished. That would be the ideal, because really we want the film to get out there as wide as possible. And by getting a broadcast deal, that would most likely kind of reach the biggest audience. So that's still something definitely we're going to push for. And then in terms of the kind of the film itself, so it's really a kind of journey into the heart of Rojava, where we meet various different people along the way, and Janet explores the revolution, looking at these different aspects, but predominantly focused on the women's revolution. And we really use her as a way of exploring these different layers and really meeting all the different people along the way of this kind of road trip that she does across the region.
It sounds incredibly exciting, and I, for one, cannot just wait to see it. But I know this, I mean, it's a highly professionally produced film, I know, and this sort of in-depth investigative journalism and filmmaking is apparently, I believe, very difficult to get fundraising for these days, as is, you know, investigative journalism generally, I feel. So I believe that although you've been able to finish the filming, but there are still small technical aspects of the film that you need to complete. So, and you've opened a crowdfunding appeal. How can our listeners and viewers, how can we all help in getting it across just the last finishing line?
Okay, so we're basically so nearly there. The edit is very nearly locked off, and we've done one last final crowdfund to raise money for the kind of post-production things, which would be like color grading, sound mixing, paying for music, clearing some archive. This is our second crowdfund that we've done. We did one when we arrived back from Rojava. It was a successful crowdfund campaign, and we were very appreciative to the networks that supported us. We are super humbled that once again, a lot of those networks from before, as well as new networks, are also supporting our current crowdfund. And what we would say to people now is that if you have blogs with followings or you have friends that are interested in this region and this special story, then please do just share our campaign. We're offering lots of nice perks like hand-printed 35mm analog black and white photos from Rojava, and also Janet Beale's book, graphic novel, Their Blood Got Mixed. So this comes with a range of perks that we're offering on the crowdfund. And yeah, if people just share this link across their networks, it really helps us to raise this final amount. And then we can get the film out there to the wider world.
Absolutely amazing. I have that book, Janet Beale's Their Blood Got Mixed, and it is the most extraordinary book. One of the most extraordinary books I think I've... like graphic novels that I've graphic, I don't know, what is it? A graphic documentary. It's just extraordinary. I mean, that must have taken up a little, does that come into your, and Danny, perhaps you could tell us how everybody can just comment on that and how everybody can help.
Sure. So the book actually came up, I think it was in the first week, Janet kind of turned around to us and said, yeah, she wanted to do a book, which we thought, you know, was a great idea. But then we had to think about how we could incorporate the book into the film. Did we make the film about her writing the book? And at the time we thought, yeah, that we can do that. So she's on this journey to write this book and we're filming her write the book. But then in the actual edit, we realized that the book is, you know, she's obviously there taking notes and, you know, interviewing people and researching things, but the book doesn't really feature so much in the film. Great that Janet's been able to get, you know, write a book and release a book out of this experience.
I can't believe it's a perk in the crowdfunding.
it's a piece of work. And her, she does feature in the film, related to her sketching. She's sketching quite a lot in the movie, and it's like we also see some of her sketches within the edit. So, you know, Amazing. You see the perspective of Rojava through the lens of myself and Danny's camera, but then you also see the perspective of Rojava through Janet's drawings as well. So we've kind of got this multimedia presence throughout the film. We just hope that our film can live up to the high standard of Janet's graphic novel as well. But we're feeling pretty good about that at the moment.
Okay, that's good to know. Well, Danny Mitchell and Ross Damoni, thank you so much for joining us on Media News. I, for one, will certainly be appealing for some contributions to your crowdfunding appeal and will be circulating it with this interview around my network, certainly. But thank you, Danny Mitchell and Ross Damoni, co-directors of the upcoming film documentary about Janet Beale's visit to Rojava. Thank you so much for coming and joining us here at Media News to tell us about this upcoming film that we're all incredibly excited about. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Very good to be here.
Really nice one, Mark.
Thank you both so much. Take care. Bye-bye.